Hello, everybody. Thank you for being here. So I'm here to talk about a different kind of program. It's a leadership development program focused on collaborative, multi-sector teams that are building healthy communities around the country. So I have no relationships to this close. So I wanted to begin with this that kind of sets the framework of the type of leadership development we do. So on the left-hand bottom corner, there's a traditional leadership development program that's usually designed for individuals or people building management capacity. And it tends to produce impact at the individual and organizational level, but frequently people are looking for it to produce impact at the community or field level. So we've designed a program in the green box on the right that's focused on improving population health, leveraging resources already in the community, and working on collective and network systems in order to try and produce those results at the community and field. So we are going to talk today about the National Leadership Academy for the Public's Health, which we call NLAP for short. And it shows we're focused on wicked problems in public health. So these are the kind of problems where the origin is not from any one sector, and therefore they need collaboration of different sectors, including public health, to affect lasting change. So working in collaboration with other sectors and building a networked community can be challenging, and this program is designed to accelerate this type of work. Oops. So we're very proud to say that 97% of our participants over the 4 years we've been running this program would recommend the program to their colleagues. We have some quotes on the screen. We've been doing a rigorous evaluation of the program since we began and have lots of great quotes that I'll be sharing some of them today. So the first quote here is focused on the strategic focus of our work and how we do that. The NLAP experience has helped our fellows and coalitions strategically select partners, frame our message, maintain a strategic focus, and rein in our expectations. The third quote there is one of the main efforts that we have. So we're really focused on building capacity in communities for long-lasting work. Our program is 1 year long, and we can only do so much within that year, but if we can build capacity to continue doing the work, that's the key. So we've worked with teams around the country. We've worked with 81 teams, which represents 324 plus people, because each team has four people in it. In our programs overall, we've worked with over 100, so we've impacted over 400 people around the country. These represent projects. The DOT is where their key lead is located. We've worked with local teams, city teams, county teams, regional, statewide, and national teams that represent a huge variety of types of public health work and the broad spectrum that that can represent. And the colors represent the different years of the program. We're currently in cohort 4. So the focus of our work, the key elements, are teams that lead, projects that improve community health, and assets and partnerships that are leveraged to improve community resiliency. So there's three key focus areas of our mission. The first is on transcending boundaries. So this one is really around leveraging networks, looking at who's missing, who needs to be involved to really move the work forward. It's looking at catalyzing change in efforts that might not originally be considered health, but are. And the second quote here is around traditional education institutes, and one of our programs that actually is one of the Robert Wood Johnson Culture of Health awardees from the first year, this past year, focused on education as one of the key health issues in their community and has done incredible work that originally began around middle school attendance and broadened to be a much larger education focus. The second is around working collaboratively. So we work with teams of people, and this quote is multi-part, but it represents all the parts of what teams are about. So there's four members of the team. They're all from different organizations. One is required to be from the public health department. They work together. They learn about the objectives of their institutions, perspectives on the type of work that they're doing. They become a learning group together. So these are people that have worked together in the past that are now working intensively on a project and getting coached as a team to be able to work collaboratively. So they stop the blaming thing that sometimes happens between organizations and really focus on giving credit and moving the work forward together. And they work on community work and teamwork together, so they really build momentum as a team instead and appreciate each other's work instead of, again, what can happen around blaming in communities. And we really focus on community as the heart of our work. And these quotes really strongly represent the kind of work that we push forward. So we do work with the community, not for the community. They don't come in as a team and focus on fixing their community. They work with them instead of telling them what needs to happen. We also have a heavy focus on social equity and health equity throughout all of our curriculum. It's a theme. And they really think beyond kind of if they're doing a little teeny local effort, we move them into more systemic thinking to move, in this case, statewide, but we move them into movements that their work is connected to. So how do we do this? This is our curriculum competency model and the model for our program design. It's a little hard to see up there, but we see it as intersectoral leadership as the intersection between self and team leadership, community health leadership, we're working with other sectors, and systems and political leadership. Those are the three intersecting circles there. And they're unified through the use of data as well as continuous quality improvement. And we use an emergent program design to help us meet the needs of all participants each year. So we actually run the program using a CQI model as well as teach it to the participants. So this slide I'm going to stand for a little bit just to explain a little bit about how we do the work that we do. So again, people come in with a project that's defined by their team. We accept their applications based on the work they're going to do in the community and who they're going to work with. So they come in with real-world work, and it's an applied leadership program that they really were going to do in their community already, and then that we help advance that. So people don't create a project for the purposes of the program. We do on-site learning, so we do a retreat each year. We bring the whole national group of teams together. We do foundational learning at that retreat around the key concepts in the program. We bring in kind of big-name keynote speakers that help catalyze. We call them catalyst speakers, so they catalyze the key concepts we're talking about, and then we do a lot of action learning around the work they're doing. And we also introduce them to their coaches and do other key work as well as assessments and things like was talked about earlier. We also do a lot of webinars. Again, this is a national program, so we're running using a lot of technology-based learning tools. Our webinars are very interactive, so we do some key learning as a piece of it. They're an hour and a half long, so we'll present content, and then each team will talk about their aha moments, how they're going to apply it, what they're learning from it. We also do continuous learning, so we run communities of practices on different topics like health equity, built environment, and different areas related to their work, and people come on from the current teams as well as all of our alumni teams from around the country to learn from each other. And we use these using web-based technology as well. But one of the key components of our program is coaches. So we have a group of coaches that are experienced in many sectors, highly skilled and advanced in their career, and they help bring thoughtful observations. They help with group process, and most importantly, they focus on reflective learning, so they help guide the teams in reflecting on what they're doing. Most of our teams are very action and project-oriented, so they're trying to get through their work plan of whatever they need to get done, and they're not stopping. They don't have time to stop and think about what they're doing. So we help lead a process where they're reflecting on their learning, thinking about what they did, how it went, what their role was, and then how they can either continue that or stop that depending on what they're learning from that process, and people find it to be very effective and something new that they haven't done before. One of the quotes from one of our teams around that was, "Our coaches' mastery of the concepts of equity, systems change, and visionary leadership guided our thinking. The coaching was critical. The coach relationship was useful in helping us reflect on progress, holding space for us to discuss our efforts with someone that was thinking about the work from an outside partner perspective." And finally, evaluation, and this could be at the beginning or end, but again, we do rigorous evaluation of the program from beginning to end, as well as extended evaluation with our alumni now. So we do baseline assessments when people enter the program, midterm, and end of the year, and then after every learning activity as well. So we're collecting a lot of data during the year, and now we also have additional funding that we've done some evaluation of alumni teams, and I'll be sharing a little bit about that at the end. So we have, over the 3 years, because our fourth cohort is currently running, we have 91% of our people find the model effective in supporting their leadership skills, and 94% saying that the strategy works for them. So they've, two of the important areas, I have some quotes here from different participants, was around trust. So the opportunity to build trust behind the scenes so that when we showed up in meetings in their community, The trust was already there, and that had the biggest impact on them. Because of our different leadership roles and the people that they're able to influence, that was key. Another one was on the reflective practice I just talked about. We've been very active around the reflective practice piece, not just looking intellectually at the different models of the work that they're doing. We start off every meeting with a reflection to ground us in our values and how the work plays out in our team members and their day-to-day work. We end the meetings in a reflective way, too, so that we're continuously building on their evaluation approach. The reflective practice ties in nicely with CQI, the continuous quality improvement methods. So again, people learn these skills and they continue them, and we've heard from our alumni teams a year or two after they've been in the program that many of them continue to use that skill as they do their work either with the same team or other people. We've also, again, done this impact on alumni, so I wanted to share a little bit of the key learnings. So we found the biggest things that stick with people a year or two out from the program and that they attribute to the NLEF program are the ability to communicate, collaborate, and lead change with their community, the ability to bring the right partners to move their work forward, the ability to frame their message for diverse audiences in order to gain support and build a movement, their ability to build a strategic vision and bring people together for shared purpose, their ability to create expanded networks and to work across sectors, their ability to engage in systems thinking and understand the work from a public health lens that includes health equity and social justice, to understand their own style strengths and engage in reflective practice. So I'm going to be doing some other presentations tomorrow where I'm going to go more deeply into the evaluation if you're interested in that work at a round table tomorrow at 10:30 and at the Public Health Institute's booth at 3 o'clock tomorrow. So on both of those we'll be going more detailedly into the evaluation that we've done and kind of what we're learning around this type of work in communities. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you all for bearing with us through the technical difficulties. Again, this is the first presentation, the 8:30 session, so sometimes there's a little bit of blur. So anyway, we have a few minutes for questions, so I don't know if anyone has any questions. And we can have our presenters answer those. Yes?
So my question is Public Health Institute, which is a local program. My question is for Kimberly and Danielle. Can you talk a little bit about how you monitor the quality of the mentoring for your program?
So I think that'll be interesting moving forward. So this year we had a very small group of six. So I've stayed in very close contact with them. The mentors were mostly people who had been really involved in ASTO activities before, so I knew all of them pretty well, and just frequently checked in with the mentors to make sure they felt like they were getting what they needed out of the program, and then using the evaluation to them. So this year, I would say it was a little haphazard and was just very personalized, just a lot of checking in, but I think that's something as we move forward and hopefully expand the program to include more people, I think I'll need to do something a little bit more systematic that involves less time on my end. Thanks for your question.
Yes, thank you for that question. It's actually a big question for our steering committee right now, because as we double in size and double in size and double in size, the ability to have that personal connection gets lost. And so we do evaluations, mid-session evaluations. We do regular check-ins. We try to really get out there and just say that the steering committee is here and available. But this year, with us probably going to have, we're going to probably have more than 100 participants, that we need to be more systematic and thoughtful about how we approach that. But so far it's been email check-in and survey monkey.
All right. Yes.
Department or health agency, that people hold up the rank, they don't actually learn how to be thoughtful.
program isn't terribly prescriptive. We do encourage our participants to take the resources back to their workplaces, to really consider what it means in leadership development and how mentoring can play a role in all of those components of the fruits of mentoring that I mentioned. And I think because we don't have a terribly prescriptive program, that it allows people to say, I can transfer the same concept into my everyday leadership role as I go throughout our program.
I have a comment for you as well. So the state affiliate, the Wisconsin Public Health Association, has a mentoring toolkit. It is available for free on their website, which is WPHA.org. I believe it's accessible on the main page as a toolbox item. So I know that was a big issue for us as well, as far as providing staff with tools to mentor if they're not able to be a part of a formal mentoring program. Yes.
Are you looking at actual change in behavior or actual improvement in work outcomes, and how are you measuring that? Sort of people, because a lot of leadership development programs, a lot of mentoring programs, there's a lot of self-reported improvements, but I'm wondering if you're measuring the change in the SMART objectives. Are they more likely to meet their SMART objectives now than they did before they participated in the mentoring program, or is there actually any impact on the quality or the quantity or of the work itself?
Thank you for that question. I will say that up until now, it's been completely volunteer run. So because of that, I think that our ability to really approach our evaluation in a more systematic, long-term impact way has not been available to us. We are this year pursuing multiple sources of funding to grow this program and working with the Colorado School of Public Health to hopefully support us in being able to evaluate those long-term outcomes. And this is the first year that we've really had such a robust formal evaluation survey at the end that does ask some of those questions. So come back next year and I'll have more answers for you on that.
Thank you. Okay, I think we have time for one more comment or question before we dismiss. Yes, sir.
Comment and probably a task. I directed to Ms. Jarrett and Ms. Boyd. I just came from a candidates forum, and one of the questions they're asking on the candidates is, what can we do to help student members, and what can we do to help bring forward the next generation of public health representatives? And to me, the answer is crystal clear. I mean, there's a lot of what strategies can we do, a lot of hand-wringing about what we can, where we can go to get where we need to be. The answer is crystal clear, and I'm speaking from a very biased point of view, but I think if all the affiliates implemented a mentoring program, I think the question would answer itself. So the task is if you two can hunt down all the candidates and enlighten them.
Which one of my mentors?
Oh, wonderful. Okay, thanks again for attending this session. The presenters did a wonderful job as far as sharing information in a short time frame, so I encourage you to follow up with them regarding additional research and questions regarding application. And one special shout out to our program chair for Health Administration for organizing all of these wonderful sessions. And I also want to highlight that our social is tomorrow night, the Health Administration Social. If you're not using the app, please download and use the app. It's very helpful, and it provides real-time updates regarding room changes and so on and so forth. So have a wonderful conference. Thank you.